Hey guys, welcome back to Vertical Momentum. I am your host, Richard Kaufman, also known as the Comeback Coach. Guys, this is a pleasure for me today. So make sure you subscribe, make sure you leave a comment, because today we're going to blow your doors off. We're going to be talking about the millionaire mindset. Now, this gentleman that we're going to talk to is not only a friend, he's a mentor, but he's also a brother in Christ. And he's somebody that I truly love. Him and his beautiful wife are changing the world. Daniel Gomez, he's a coach. He's been voted the number one motivational speaker in the world. Has a top podcast. He does it all. Speaks, coaches. He's the Swiss Army knife of millionaire mindset. Brother, welcome to the show.
Man, thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, brother. And I'll say, actually, I'm the number one. I was voted number one motivational speaker in South Texas. And that was a great, great accomplishment. You know, the world is the next one coming up. But I've seen you grown, man. And I'm just so proud of you. I'm proud to be here and add value to your audience. And I'm just excited to spend some time with you, man, and just drop some wisdom into your audience, brother. So thank you for having me, man.
I'm so grateful. Like I said, without you, this show would not be possible, because you were the person that I looked up to when I first started. And I just want to be able to carry the mantle. I just want to be able to stand on the shoulders of giants. But first of all, you know, you've been around a lot of auto dealerships in your lifetime. You've seen them close. You've seen them open up. You've seen people getting fired, getting laid off, especially the last couple of years. So what has been your definition of resiliency?
Well, my definition of resiliency is this, is that when a problem comes your way, a problem is preparation for the future, right? Whenever something happens like that, it's a problem. And most people see problems as the negative thing. And really the resiliency comes into play, because you know that on the other side of that problem, it's going to just make me a better human being. That's how we grow. So when you know that that problem is sent to you to help you grow as a human being, grow your intellect, become a bigger person, then you know that, wow, right, this is a gift from God, and this is going to help me to become more resilient. Because this is the thing, is I've met many people that want to be successful, Richard, but they don't want to go through the process. They don't want to grow. They don't want to elevate their mindset. They don't want to elevate their thinking. And one of the key ingredients that you're going to need is resiliency, or resilient mindset. And it's not that things, right? Most people see resiliency as a negative thing, right? Being resilient as negative. No, being resilient is knowing that as you're climbing to the top of the mountain, there's going to be some rocks coming your way. There's going to be some boulders rolling down. There's going to be some jagged edges that you got to go around. But resiliency is a great thing, because it makes you stronger. It makes you competent, and it makes you think on your feet. And if you can do those things, especially in business, you can't lose.
And okay, so now you've never just always been this positive guy. You know, we've known each other, I'm thinking almost 8 years now. You know, we've gone through a lot. Our families have health issues. We've been through the gamut of things. You haven't always been this guy. Tell us a little bit about where you come from and how you became the man that you are today.
Well, I grew up in the south side of San Antonio and lost my mom at 10 years old. Didn't really understand what happened. I think as a kid, losing your mother, it doesn't hit you that young. But as you get older, you realize that it was a great impact in your life. I remember eating cereal with water. I remember that we didn't have enough month at the end of the year that we would have to really, the only thing we would eat sometimes would be, right, we would get these little hot dogs, the wieners, and we would put them over the stove, over the gas stove. And that was our dinner, right? That was our hot dog. We'd get a regular loaf of bread, heat it up over the stove, and that was it. And really, when you don't know any better, Richard, that's what it seems regular to you. And then as you start to get older and you start to go and join sports, and I remember one day, I'll never forget, one of the football players was talking about going at this nice restaurant here in San Antonio. And he goes, man, ain't the burgers good there? And I didn't want to feel stupid and small. And so I said, yeah, it's good. But the truth of it was, Richard, I had never been to that restaurant. And I felt so little walking home across the field house. And I was just like, why did I lie about food? Just to fit in, I lied about food. That way I wouldn't look. But the truth is, we never would even go to a restaurant like that. And I vowed to myself as a teenager, I think I was like 13 years old, that I would never lie about food again, that I was going to do everything human possible, that I made a decision like that day to say, I'm going to make something of myself. And this is in the environment here in San Antonio where we're not told to really go out there and make something of yourself. We're not told to dream big. We're not told. We're just told, don't get high and don't get arrested. And that's kind of the way it was, to be honest with you. And I think for me, when I made that decision, just really going in life, and when I ended up moving to San Marcos with my dad for a while, it really helped me to become a better person, because San Marcos helped me to see things from a small town's perspective. And there was good people that God put in my life. And it just helped me to really believe bigger. I had a teacher named Mr. Jones, and Mr. Jones was hard. I thought he was a butthead, to be honest with you, many times. He was our DECA teacher. But he helped me to dream bigger. He helped me to say, you can have a car, you can do this, son, you can do all these things. And I think that was the beginning when the seeds were planted in me to really become the person that I am today. And then the huge breakthrough came was when I graduated. I didn't have the money to go to college, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to go, to be honest with you. I graduated with A's and B's, but a pivotal thing happened in my life at that moment, Richard, is that I took a job at a company called Plant Interstates. And little did I know that, like the green sign you see behind me that stands for Millionaire Mind of Money, that the green sign that they had for plants was going to alter my life and make it grow even more as foliage grows, as plants grow, because it gave me access to a life that I had never imagined. By watering plants, it put me in houses like George Strait. It put me in houses like David Robinson's. It put me in mega million. You talk about multi-million dollar homes at the Dominion here in San Antonio. Not many people get access. And when I was 19 years old, boy, I just soaked it all in, Richard.
All right. So now, because, you know, let's break it down a little bit. You know, people like you and me, we're not supposed to succeed. The name Kaufman, the name Gomez is not supposed to, you're not supposed to succeed. But once we start seeing there's a bigger world out there, you can either took two roads. You can have been like that guy that said, man, you know, I'm working in these big houses, I'm getting paid crap, and I'm angry, and I'm just trying to get my work done. But you sat there and said, how did they get it? I want this. So what made you take the right road instead of taking the other road that a lot of people probably would have taken with their woe is me, woe is me, woe is me?
I just started asking questions. I truly believe the quality of your life is the quality of the questions you ask yourself. And in business, the quality of the questions you ask yourself in business is the quality of your business. And I would ask myself, how did they get here? Right? Because not everybody was a basketball star like David Robinson. But I would ask him, what do you do? Right? I would just conversations. And I think I had to really understand that it was just their people, right? Whether you live in a mansion or you live in a one bedroom apartment, we're all human beings, and we all are created with this connection inside to be and help each other. And I was 19. I would ask questions, just talk about them. And hey, what about this? And now I love this, right? One thing that I realized quickly that I caught on to is wealthy people like compliments. I would observe, right? I would observe like just the different interaction as I was, right? We would water plants. We put these huge palm trees in these people's, you're talking about homes with 20, 30 foot ceilings, right? So we put these massive palm trees, and I would just observe. I was like, wow. So once I was in the environment of these mansions, I'd be like, hey, Miss, one was Miss Gravel. Hey, Miss Gravel, man, that's a beautiful vase. I love it. Oh. And when you start talking about their possessions, right, in a nice way, they'll tell you a backstory. And then you're like, oh, well, we got this one in Italy, and this one was a gift to me. So I just learned, right? I just learned how to give them compliments, and then they were more open to talk to me. And then it just grew from there. So it was, I felt welcomed. But I think the real thing that helped me being in this environment of being a horticulturist inside these houses, whether it was Elm Creek or the Dominion, is that it changed my, what the, right? As human beings, Richard, we take in over 1 million optics a second. That's, yes, 1 million optics. We take on over 1 million optics a second. And marketers know that, retailers know that. That's why they bombard you with all these ads. Well, now my eyes shifted from seeing this. Now I was seeing Ferraris at David Robertson's house. Now I was seeing Mercedes. Now I was seeing these grand pianos. Now I was seeing these extravagant pools with waterfalls in the back. I had never seen that live before, Richard. So I worked at this company, right? I worked my way up. I was there 10 years, but for like 4 years, I was the guy that went out personally to these homes. And I literally, we watered the plants, we exchanged them, we took them fresh bromeliads. Like, I mean, like I said, if they had a massive palm tree that cost $5,000 that died, hey, to them, send me another palm tree. But my optics changed. What I was seeing changed. The conversations, I'll tell you what, the conversations in these homes were totally different than the conversations I had in the south side of San Antonio. Huge, huge difference.
And that's a very interesting point, and I wanted to bring up. A few years ago, I had the blessings to be able to sit down and play poker with a billionaire, multi-billionaire. And I said, what's the difference between a poor person and a wealthy person? He said, it's their vocabulary. And it blew my mind because he says, rich people and poor people talk about two totally different things. You know, rich people talk about appreciation, depreciation, ownership, wealth, and poor people don't. They have a totally different conversation. And I think a lot of it has to do with the conversations they have with themselves. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, yeah, you have to broaden your vernacular. If you don't broaden your vernacular, then you're limited to the discussions you can have. If you only know one language and your language is just a language from the South Side, for example, for me, and that wasn't going to get me to where I needed to go. So my vernacular had to change. I had to learn, what do they talk about? What do they like? What about these people? What about these people? What about this? Right, demographically too. And I quickly, as I learned this and I grew as a human being, and then as I started running multi-million dollar corporations, and then we had 100 employees under me, I had to learn how to speak the language of every different person. So my vernacular had to broaden. And if your vernacular is not broadening, you're not going to get it. But I realized quickly that these people, right, the wealthy people, that they were nice. You just had to get to know them. Most times, to your point, right, I don't care who you are, it's hard to carry a conversation if it doesn't show the same interest. So to your point, what you're saying, if the conversations ain't intriguing, you don't mean to be rude, but it's not capturing you, because maybe you're like me now, not that I'm anybody, but I'm somebody because I'm a child of God, but I take time to talk to people and, hey, well, right, I'll probe them a little bit because I know I was on the other side. Does that make sense? And it's not that you think you're better or whatever, but this is the point. I like a little bit of country music sometimes, but I don't like salsa. So if you invite me, Richard, to your house party or to your home party, and you're, it's a new home, right? Your home welcoming party, and you're playing nothing but salsa music, the odds of me staying there are going to be how long, do you think?
Not very long.
Because it's not my music, right? If my friend Rick was to invite me to his house and all they're playing is heavy metal, and I have no interest in heavy metal, I'll probably go and stay there for a bit and just to show my respect, but sooner or later, I don't want to listen to that, right? Because it's not my music. Well, your language, your vernacular, it's your music to other people. So if you don't speak, right, if you don't play their music, they're not going to stick around. If you don't speak their language, they don't want to converse with you. So you have to learn how to converse and find the entrance, right? Finding the interest of these people that you want to kind of maybe learn from, grow with, be mentored by, coached by. Because everybody, right, no one needs to be rude. But if a subject doesn't interest me, I understand now, because it's not, it's just, I don't want, like, right? A good example. and some friends of mine could probably get upset, right? But when I was poor-minded, I could watch NFL football. I would watch a 12 o'clock game. I'd watch a 3 o'clock game. I'd watch a 6 o'clock game. I'd watch football all day, and my wife would be upset with me. But that was what I did every Sunday. No joke. When we first got married, I was like 21 years old, 22, football on, right? 12, 3, and 7 o'clock late, the late game, 6 o'clock game. Every Sunday, it was clockwork. Then I would get mad because the Cowboys would lose. But that was being poor-minded. Because I was that was what I would talk about. I get to work on Mondays. Oh, man, the Cowboys lost. Oh, this day, it would consume my day. And wealthy people don't, I mean, it's like, no, like, right? That it's now, I don't even watch football that much. I'll take interest in the game. I still love the Cowboys, but I'm not a fanatical fan like I was. But now it doesn't affect me. And hey, you know what? I don't even watch games sometimes because it's not my priority right now because I have other things to talk about. I have investments to talk about. I have, okay, how do we got to get from this last quarter? What's going to get us to the next level of business? Okay, this part of our business is not growing the way we need it to. How can we improve it? Or who can I help? Who can I collaborate with today? Or who, one of our clients is not where they need to be. How can we help them? You see how your thinking changes. So what you focus on, right, you attract. And if you just focus on stuff that's not adding value, right? I mean, let me put it this other way too. A lot of fans are fans because they like being on the sideline because they don't have the ability, they don't have the confidence in themselves to believe they can do it, right? I don't want to be a fan. Because I know with God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So why am I going to stand on the sideline and be a fan and watch football all day, every day for 9 hours like I used to when I was younger when I have no need to? Because I know that I have the God-given abilities to go out there and get in the field and make something of myself and help other people get where they need to go to.
And I truly love that and I appreciate that. You know, I had the authors of Rich Dad, Poor Dad come on the show. And they were talking about how when Robert was talking to his rich dad, and he said, all these people come in and out of my office asking me for jobs, asking me for loans, but they don't ask me how I did it. He says, but the one person that asked me how I did it, I applied all my knowledge to. So I think sometimes we just have to say, if you see somebody that's successful and you're not there yet, ask them, because sometimes they're willing to let you know how they did it, because they don't get asked that by how they did it a lot. They get asked for handouts, they get asked for this, for that, but they pretty much never get a lot of how did you do it? You know what I mean? And a lot of guys will offer, or guys and girls will offer mentorship if you provide value for them, correct?
Yeah. You know, I love that point you said, and I think of my son, Julian. I mean, I love this kid and I see him and man, if I had his brain at his age, I mean, Lord knows where I'd be right now. But the reality is I didn't have his brain. I didn't have his mind, his mindset. But my son, he's over here doing things that I would have never done. And he's going to be graduating from college in December. But even before he's graduated, he's already the top salesman at the Washita, right? It's a huge corporation here in South Texas. He trains their sales teams. He does amazing things, but his way of thinking, he has a millionaire mind and he's on his way to obtain his own wealth. But he got that by, he's the only one, right? I have three beautiful kids. I love them all, but he's the only one that gets inside my head. Does that make sense? And yeah. It shows in his life. It shows in like the conversations that we have, it's not just like, hey dad, how you doing? It's like, he gets inside of me and he asks me like business questions or what do you think about this or my perspective and none of, right? I mean, to your point, it's like, yes, I'm his dad, but he knows that, okay, if I need help, I know I can go and talk to dad as a client to say, because he asked me those type of questions and I love it because he's my son. How do you not want to help your kids? Because something that happens with your own kids is they don't want to hear it because you're their dad. Does that make sense? Yep. They don't want advice from their parents. So it's like, but he comes back and he probes me, right? He goes, he taps into the wisdom that I have and I see it in his life. So I think that it's a question of don't be scared to ask, because if you ask, all they can say is no. And it's not just asking, it's how you ask. So there's so many ways to look at it, but I would say this is that the main thing is that we all have the capabilities of growing and becoming more. And it's just really believing it for yourself and not being that fan on the sideline and going out there, like you said, right? Ask questions, don't ask for a handout. Show me the way.
All right, now I want to get into talking about cars and high ticket sales. But first, I want to thank our sponsors. As you guys know, without the sponsors, the show doesn't go. Sponsors is called Really Designs. They actually make swag for your business, whether it's hats, t-shirts, shaker cups, whatever. And if you buy my new t-shirt that just came out, it's called Today I Decide. And on the back says, this t-shirt saves lives. Ask me how. For every t-shirt I sell, 100% of the proceeds go to help veterans struggling with PTSD and homelessness. So if you guys love swag, if you guys want to support veterans, pick up a t-shirt. And also, if you guys want to start your own show on StreamYard, they're actually going to throw you some money to start your own show. So let me know if you're interested in having your own show at StreamYard. But now I got a question to ask, because I know you're the car guy. I have three friends. One owns a Honda dealership. The other one owns a Toyota dealership, and the other one owns a Lamborghini and high-end luxury cars. And they all in the same block. And the guy that has a Lamborghini place says, though the salesmen never come looking for jobs at this place. They'll always go looking for jobs at the dealerships with the lower end cars, because they think that they can't sell those $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 cars. So with all your years of talking to people, what makes a high ticket salesman succeed in business?
Well, that's easy. Your self-image. Your life is never going to grow above the current self-image you have with yourself. Your career is never going to grow above the current self-image you have with yourself. Your business definitely isn't going to grow past the current self-image of the owner. So if your business isn't growing, the owner's the issue. If the business isn't growing, the CEO is the issue, because they have a self-image of themselves. And if you're insecure as a leader, if you're insecure as a business owner, then you're going to micromanage and you're going to be that boss that nobody wants to work with, because you're going to be that dictator, that micromanager. So in reference to selling anything, the only value that the customer sees is the value that you see on yourself. Because before they buy any Lamborghini, before they buy any car, they're buying you as a salesman. They're buying you before they buy the product, right? They have an idea that they want a Lamborghini, and yes, people go so on. But sometimes even with those types of buyers, you got to convert them and say, hey, you know what? Let's pull the trigger, because they're looking at a Ferrari, or they're looking at a Maserati now, because Maserati has the M20, or they're looking at a McLaren. So there's definitely different products to look at. But the question is, if you have a poor self-image of yourself, the likelihood of you selling any high ticket item, it's going to be a challenge. And you got to work on building your self-image, Richard.
So then, like I said, you know, you do a lot of speaking at dealerships. What makes one guy the bottom salesperson? What makes that guy or girl the top salesperson? There's got to be a difference between the two. Even if they dress the same, look the same, there's got to be something different between the two of them.
Yeah, the mindset, right? What mindset do they have? And it's like this, right? If you don't have any self-confidence, if you don't have the belief that you can, you're not going to do it. And to answer your question, two people can be dressed exactly. I just talked about this 2 weeks ago. It's like we have the same inventory. We have the same everything. We have the same operator. We have the same building. Why is this guy selling and making $20,000 a month, and this person's only selling three or four cars, making $2,000 and barely making it? Because they don't believe in themselves. They don't believe that they can. So it goes to your belief system, right? You BS. And my job when I go in there, I do a lot of sales training, yes, but I do a lot more sales coaching, because the coaching is where those breakthroughs come in that limit their beliefs. right? So you got to get rid of that BS, right? That's what I say. You got to get rid of that BS. Not the other BS, but the belief system, right? The good BS. But I say that because it always gets everybody's attention when I go and do a training. Like, what? Like, you're talking about what? Like, no, I'm not going to curse, but the belief system. If you don't believe you can do it, you're not going to do it. But this is the thing, too. For so many of us, Richard, it's easy for us to believe it for somebody else than to believe it for ourselves. And when I go into these dealerships, when I go into these corporate trainings, I just did a corporate training for this one big, huge paper company. And it's like COVID brought their morale down, everything. I go, you got to start believing that there's business out there. You got to start believing that clients need what the product that you have. And if you don't have the belief, right? If you don't have the belief, you're never going to take the action. And the person that has the belief is going to take the action. So my job is to go in there and show you, hey, you need to change the belief. Because when you change the belief, you're going to implement. You're going to do the things you need to do. And change doesn't start. A sale doesn't start without the first step. And that's the part that most people miss, is they think that people are going to be attracted to them. And that right? That, no, there comes a part where you got to go out there and actually market yourself, sell yourself. Because they're buying you. They're buying your energy. And then this is what happens too, Richard, is that when we're selling products or services, we're not prepared. We're stumbling. We're falling. We're papers are going everywhere. Like, man, why weren't you ready? Why weren't you ready? You'd be surprised how many realtors that I meet, how many salesmen that I meet, they lack the wisdom to carry a pen with them everywhere they go. If you're an account executive, if you're in sales, if you're an entrepreneur, even right now, if you're a solopreneur, you need to carry a darn pen with you everywhere you go, because you never know where you're going to have to write something down. Simple truth. My wife even, like, she goes, you need to buy more pens. Like, there's a part of me that refuses to buy pens, because if you're not a professional enough to bring your own darn pen to a training, you don't deserve to sell. It's the truth. Does that make sense? You're getting me fired up now, because I love sales, man. You got me going now. and baby, come on.
and I totally agree. But also, like, for me, I believe that, you know, like, I just finished reading Mr. Ed Mylett's new book, and he talks about, you know, one more, you know, you can have all the belief in the world, but if you don't put it into work, if you don't put it into action, it doesn't mean anything, you know. But so a lot of, because I was on sales, and, you know, I was the kind of guy that I would get there, because I was selling timeshare, I would get there an hour early. Because I wanted to get to people that were just walking around. I wanted to talk to them. And then I would stay an hour later. I would get the stragglers that would come in. But I would close those sales because I put myself in position to succeed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So now, okay, you get a new salesman. Never sold nothing in his life. He sits down talking to Daniel Gomez Aspire. He got his pen. He got his paper. What do you say to that young man just starting out in sales?
I always open up every training with mindset. Every training I do it. Every training I do is the same way. It's always on mindset. Because if you have, right, if I can give you the right training, the sales training, but if you don't have the right mindset, the sales, you're never going to use what I train. You're never going to use the sales training aspect of it. Because you're not going to have the resiliency. You're not going to have the grit. You're not going to have the perspective from the customer, right? A lot of the mindset training is, what's a perspective from this way? What's perspective from this customer? You got to understand the perspective. You got to see things from the other person's point of view. So right off the bat, the foundation has to be mind. What's your thinking? And that's the first thing I start, right? And then I go into, of course, attitude. And then I talk about, right, what in your mindset is holding you back? What thinking do you need to change? And you'd be surprised. You have grown men and women crying, because I go deep into this, because they don't even realize that they've thought negative their whole life. I mean, because if they're not aware of it, right, if they're not aware of how their psychology is, how their psyche is, they're going to carry that into this new sales career, and they're going to suck. They're going to bomb it, because, right, the first 30 to 45 days, you're working on adrenaline. Right, you're not working with your subconscious mind. You're working with your cognitive mind. So you're getting over all those limitations that you have. But once the energy flows down and you start going in day 60, day 70, and now your subconscious thinks in, and now you're thinking, I'm not good enough to be a salesman and all these things. I addressed that from the get-go because it all starts with the proper foundation, Richard.
Okay, now I got to say, and my wife hates me because I am the worst customer ever. I went in to go buy my car I have now. I got a brand new Kia Optima. I love it. And I sat down and they tried selling me. And I said, I talked to the salesman, I said, let me see your car keys. He had a Honda. He's driving a Honda trying to sell me a Kia. I told him, get me the next guy. I went through three guys before somebody actually says, I own a Kia. And the only reason I say that is because I could not sell a timeshare until somebody sat me down and said, you're not selling it because you don't own one. You don't believe it. And once I bought a timeshare and went on vacation, I sold like 10 that next week because I knew what it felt to go on vacation. I knew what it felt to have that timeshare payment every month, but knowing that me and my family are going to Disney here. So talk to us a little bit about that. You know, obviously, if you're selling Lamborghinis, you probably don't own one just yet. But you should at least believe in your product to at least try to own one, right?
It's ironic you say this because I have a story that I talk about all the time when I do my sales training is you got to believe in the product. If you don't believe in the product, if you don't believe in the product or service you're selling, the customer can tell that. And when I write, I worked at Chevrolet for many years. I still have my Chevy ring. I wear it because we broke a lot of records. We did a lot of great things. But every time a customer would walk, when I would go in for the close as a general sales manager or the final person touching base with that customer, the one thing I would say is, Mr. Ms. Customer, I would never ask you to do something that I would never do. I would get the keys out to my Silverado. I'd say, Mr. Ms. Customer, see that black truck right there? Right there where it says reserved for general sales manager, that's my truck. That's what I drive. I wouldn't put my family in anything else. It's safe. It's going to take care of you and do more than what you think. Let me go ahead and get your signature right here. I would slide the paper over, and over 90% of the time they would close them because I was being sincere, right? I drive a Chevy Silverado. I wouldn't drive anything else. So if you don't believe in the product or service that you're offering, you're never going to sell it. And you're 100% right, because the customer is going to pick on that right now, that the prospect is going to pick up on that right now. And maybe you're struggling right now in your own, right? Maybe you're struggling right now as an entrepreneur because what you're trying to offer, you don't believe in it. You don't believe in the service. Or maybe you're selling Epsy candles and right, you're doing it because your friend told you to do it. And yeah, you were on a high first. You were doing it because, like I said, you're doing it cognitively for the first 3 months. But now you're like, you know, I don't even really care for this. The fun's over. Find something that you believe in. Because if you find a product, if you get something that you believe in, then there's nothing right. I believe in speaking. I believe speaking changes lives. I believe in book publishing, right? I believe that helping authors like this, one of our great authors, Jeff Levain, publishing this high quality book for him. I believe in book publishing. I believe that people's lives can change, right? That's why we do book publishing now, because it's an extension of who you are. It gives you credibility, and it really does. And it's a revenue stream. If you're a coach, if you're a trainer, if you're a speaker, you need a book. Why? Because for myself, I've made hundreds of thousands of dollars off of book sales, because when I go to these conferences, not only do I get paid my honorarium, right? They pay me my $5,000-$7,000 for speaking, $10,000 for speaking. But then on the back end, I still make another $2,000 or $3,000 on book sales, because if it's a conference like we were in Hawaii, me and my wife were there, we sold over 100 books. That was over a $2,000 payday just on book sales, because the cost, right? The cost of a book, your cost as an author is only $3 and something change. You sell it for $20, and right? I mean, you're providing that value. Of course, you got to pay for shipping and all these other things, and then to ship them to Hawaii, but it's another revenue source that I believe in, because it's made me the success that I am today. And that, not only that, why else do I love books? Because you know why? Because books are your best business card, right? Books are your best business card. Yep. And when you go to the, right? If a book costs me a hard copy costs me $8, I'm going to give it away to an executive because they're not going to forget about me. So you have to do that. That's why when we came out, The Makings of a Millionaire Mind, the book, it's like, I was like, you know what? Let's do it in all platforms. Let's do it in Kindle. Let's do it in hard copy. Let's do it in paperback. It was a bigger investment, but it's okay because the ROI is there and it's a business card for me.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, and my book just hit number one twice on Amazon. But a lot of people don't realize that even if it's an audio book, or I mean, even if it's, you know, a digital book, it's a 97% profit margin. 97% that you only have to make it one time, and you can sell it, you know, and you can sell it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And a lot of people don't realize that the word author is short for the word authority. So when you say I wrote a book on, you literally wrote the book on sales, it gives you a lot more authority. Yeah. So now talk to us a little bit about mindset and the millionaire mindset, because I started doing something years ago. I live right where I live in the house I live in now. I live 3 miles away from where I used to sleep in my car and eat out of the garbage cans. And now every time I go out for dinner, I order surf and turf. I want steak and lobster. Even though I'm not a big fan of it, I want it because it shows me where I was and where I'm going. Yes. Right? So talk to us about the millionaire mindset. And a lot of people think there's, and I want you to harp on this, there's a difference between being rich and there's a difference in being wealthy. Tell us the difference in the mindsets.
Well, man, Richard, for me, it's right. Everybody has their own perspective of that. And when we wrote our book, The Makings of a Millionaire Mind, I want to first of all be honest. There was a part of Daniel Gomez that felt that I didn't want to write this book because it was going to bring a lot of controversy. And it has, right? Because when you start talking about money right away, there's a vast majority of people that think you're greedy, and all Daniel Gomez inspires thinks about is money. And it happened, right? I even had clients that said, man, all you do is talk about no, listen to my heart. The reason we wrote the book is to give people the right approach, the right heart, the right attitude in becoming a millionaire's God's way. And that's the reason, so you don't self-implode, so you self-destruct. We've all known people, Richard, that have attained some wealth and then they lose it within 2 or 3 years. Yeah. So the whole philosophy was, let me give you some wisdom of things that I've cried. I talk about things that I cried through, but give you not just money principles, but actual facts and wisdom about money and finances and what's your relationship with money. But the whole thing is too, who are you, right? The whole thing about becoming a millionaire is a person you become on the journey. That's what it's about. Growing your self-image, valuing yourself, raising the bar, seeing things differently. So to answer your question, right, when rich is right, when you're somebody that's rich, it's like, well, rich isn't legacy to me, for myself. Rich, right? You can be rich and have money and it could be gone when something happens. But when you have wealth, right, it's a whole different perspective. Because rich to me is just, you're rich in money, and many of those people are just still poor. A good example is, bless his soul, is Robin Williams. He was rich, he had money, but his soul was poor. His relationships were poor because at that moment when he needed something, somebody, he didn't have anybody to reach out to, so he took his own life. And this is real stuff that I want to talk about, because there's so many rich people that are unhappy, that don't have God in their lives, and that are empty inside. So to me, that's rich. When you have wealth, there's more than right wealth. There's so many different spheres, right? A sphere, S-P-H-E-R, in case you can't hear my words here. The sphere, right? You have a sphere of wealth, which includes money and finances. There's wealth in that. There's wealth in your health. Right? Because if you don't have health and wealth, everything else is irrelevant. If you don't have wealth in your spiritual walk, and spirit, if you're not rich in your spirit in God, then it doesn't matter how much money you have, you're going to be the poorest living soul there is out there. And then if you don't have, right, if you're not wealthy in relationships, then it doesn't do any good. So to me, there's four spheres that you need. And then actually, there's a fifth one that I left out that's crucial. And this is a part that's going to actually help you become a millionaire, is you have to be wealthy in your intellect, right? You have to be wealthy in your intellect. So let me recap that. A rich man just has money. He's rich, but inside he's empty. A rich woman, she's empty. A wealthy man, a wealthy woman, they have five spheres that they're wealthy. They're wealthy in money and finances. They're wealthy in their health. They're wealthy in their relationships. They're wealthy in their intellect. And they're sure as God wealthy with God. And that's the main difference, Richard, because if you don't have these five key areas of wealth, it's all in, you're still going to feel empty. And I know many people that I associate with right now that they have a good bank account. They have 2, 3, 5, 10 million, but inside they're still so empty because they're missing one of those five key things, right?
Yeah, and now I want to bring up something I didn't know, but the spirit is saying I got to bring it up. I had you on my show, I think it's probably almost 3 years now, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes.
It's so long. It's been crazy. But I lost my dad on Valentine's Day last year or this year. And he was a man of faith. And he was always saying, he wasn't depressed about dying. He's like, I'm just going home. It's going to be all right. But the reason I bring that up is I just started my business at that point. And while I was away, there was still money coming in because I had Evergreen products, t-shirts, hats, speaking and all that stuff. So money was still coming in. So even though I was taking care of my family, money was still coming in. So I was able to take care of my family, where if I was working my 9 to 5, I wouldn't be able to be with my dad and have money coming in. And the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because your beautiful bride, she got sick a while ago. And if you didn't have the time or the money to spend and make sure she got healthy, she probably wouldn't have made it if you were just working a 9 to 5 job. So that, I think, is really important. When people say, well, I don't want money, but if you have that, you're able to do more and possibly even save some lives while with that money. Do you agree with me?
So there's a word that comes to mind. I want your audience to write this word down. Freedom. Wealth equals freedom. And it's ironic you bring this up, because just yesterday I did a post with my grandson. We were here eating ice cream, getting all messy, and it was a beautiful time being silly with my little 3-year-old grandson Andres. And I posted, I said, you know, this is what success is really about. The freedom to have ice cream with my grandson whenever I want. That I don't have to ask anybody else, can I go have ice cream with my grandson? No, it's the freedom to take the afternoon off. It's the freedom to bless other people with money. It's the freedom to be a blessing to the homeless and the needy. It's the freedom to bless the orphanages in Africa. It's that's the freedom. So wealth in a lump sum gives you freedom that you'll never have working a 9 to 5, Richard. And I think that's the real message I want to drive, is that who wouldn't want freedom? Who really wouldn't want freedom to go see their grandson perform at some play? Who wouldn't want the freedom to go see their daughter play their first basketball game or be their first cheerleader in Pop Warner? What parent would? We all want that. And how many of us miss those special moments in our children's childhood? I know I miss many. I remember when I was growing up in the car business, it sucked because I missed so much stuff from my daughter, Alicia. I missed it. But now I get to spend time with them and go to lunch with them. But now that my grandson's around, I get to spend that time with him. And it's a beautiful thing that we can go and have the freedom, right? The freedom. And it's not bragging on the freedom. It's just, I want people to understand that when you really believe well for yourself, that you really believe that you can become the millionaire mind, and you go to the makingsofamillionairemind.com and you get the course and you start working on the course, 27 powerful modules, that the investment that you make right now, it's not a cost of the course. It's going to give you a return on investment. What's the cost of inaction? What's the cost of not taking action today? So I want to encourage your viewers, go to the makingsofamillionairemind.com right now. get our course, 27 powerful modules, and it's going to start giving you the freedom to really go out there and seeing things from a different perspective. That's what it's about. It's not about anything else than truly helping people. And one thing that I see, Richard, is that most people never dream that big. They never even have the thought that I could even have $250,000. Maybe you're listening to me and Richard, you're saying, you know, I don't want to be a millionaire, Daniel and Richard. Well, great. But who doesn't want a little bit more in my savings account? Who doesn't want that little bit more in your savings account, Richard? But you know what the ironic thing is? The same effort it took you to get that little bit more, it's actually the same effort to give you a lot more.
I love it. And I once heard, they said, you know, money doesn't buy happiness, but I'd rather cry on a boat than be happy in a Ford. So that's just my opinion. So my last question is, well, one more question first. If we all know people that get out of the military, they get out, they don't have a mission anymore, they're lost. So what three pieces of advice would you give to somebody that's getting out of the military and wants to become an entrepreneur? What are your top three pieces of advice?
Well, you know, if I was in the military coming out, I've actually seen many of my close friends struggle with this. And what I would do is give yourself, what I think the biggest mistake that when people get out is that they rush into something that they don't even want to do because maybe they did it in the military, right? I have a dear friend of mine that did computers in the military, IT, and he did good, but he hated it. And as soon as he got out, he got a night, right? For those that don't know, a lot of times when you're coming to the end of your career, you actually retire. We'll just say right now is October. They're actually retiring in December. Christmas, we'll say 3 months from now. But right, their last day of work is actually today. Yeah. So they're at home. They go crazy. They get bored, and they're eager to go back to work. So they take a job just to have a job because that's all they know. Yeah. So the first advice I would say is really give yourself time to reflect. Get a journal, right? Get a journal and write down, what are my gifts? What are my gifts? And give yourself time to yourself. Get you, if you're married, get your wife, get your spouse, get away from your home and take a vacation. The first thing you do is need to get away, get a journal and write down, what are my gifts and what would I love to do if money wasn't an issue, if there was no restrictions, what I would want to do. And by doing that exercise, Richard, it's going to bring up things to the surface that they never knew. The one that's, I would tell them, definitely don't get a job because that's going to hinder you, right? Your retirement is going to kick in. The second thing I would say is get plugged in to an organization, a nonprofit, or someone's going to support you in the transition. There's many, a great friend of mine, Don Gleason here in San Antonio, owns a nonprofit. They help you transition from A to B, right? As a soldier, this is a mistake that soldiers make, is there's so much pride in them, they don't even realize it. I want to do it by myself. I want to do it on my own. I took orders from this butthead my whole career. I'm solo. No. Find a nonprofit that supports veterans and let them help you with your transition. And then the last thing is really, believe it for yourself. Believe that the military was just a stepping stone to where you're going. Believe that God has more in store for you. Believe that you can be that business owner. Be crazy enough to dream bigger and think bigger and really obtain that there's something better out there, because so many of those people get out and they think so small. They don't dream big. They just want to, right? They just want to ride off to the sunset, or they just think whatever the world puts into them or the military does after retirement. No. You right? Think about it. The average person retires at 45 from the military. No, you still got another 45 years to go, buddy. Come on. Like, right? Dream big.
Yeah.
Look at you. You have a podcast now, Richard. You have one of the top podcasts in the world, and you up for this award. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Why not, Richard Kaufman? Why not you retiring from the Air Force? Why not you retiring as a Marine? Why not?
Yeah.
So take time, get a journal, reflect, go on vacation right away. Don't take a darn job right away because you hated it in the military. Why you want to do that in the civilian world? Because it's not for you. And find out really what your gift is and ask God to guide you. I think one thing that I realized, Richard, is that I ask God for so much guidance that it's like,
me too.
He appreciates that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why we're as successful as we are. I mean, it's just, when you have God's wisdom, you can't do this.
All right. So now that's normally my last question, but because it's you, I just have one more. So how do we find you? How do we support your mission? How do we find the course? How do we find your podcast?
Well, my name is Daniel Gomez Inspires, right? That's our brand, DG, back here. So you can find Daniel Gomez Inspires on Facebook, on Pinterest. Yes, Pinterest, on Instagram. And then, of course, we're on LinkedIn also. Those are our social media handles. And the best way to connect with me is just send me an email directly at daniel@danielgomezspeaker.com. That's daniel@danielgomezspeaker.com. Send me an email there. And go get our course, right? Get our book, get our course. They're going to bless you. And I promise you, if you get the course today, I'm going to send you one of these Millionaire Mind t-shirts. We trademarked the name. I'll send you a shirt for free. These are high quality shirts that people want to wear. Get the course today. I promise you, 27 powerful modules. Go to the makings with an S, the makings of a millionairemind.com. Get your course. I'll send you the shirt. I'll send you an autographed copy of the book when you get the course today. It's going to bless you. It's going to help you. And it's really going to, right? It's going to radically change your life and significantly change the results you're getting. And who doesn't want to change their results, Richard? I know I do still.
Me too. I'm just a work in progress. So the last question is, they say that if you don't feel close to God, you're the one that moved. He's always there for us. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. So if somebody's out there right now and they want to find peace, and they need to find peace, and so if somebody wants to get closer to Him and finally get some peace in their life, what piece of advice would you give to them that they can act upon today, if not right now?
Well, that's easy. I think as men and women, but I'm going to speak for men because I think men carries more machismo, right? I think pride gets in the way for us men a lot of times. There's nothing you've done in this world that will keep you from God. And all you really got to do is say, "Help me, God." Simple as that. You don't got to say this big religious prayer and 20 Hail Marys, and religion is all man's doctrine. All you got to do is say, "God, I'm lost. I need you. Come into my heart because I can't do it. I need you." And it's that simple. And it doesn't matter what you've done. Boy, Richard, you know, what keeps men and women, what keeps us away from God is shame, guilt, and regret. Those three things, shame, guilt, regret, and then the last one is unforgiveness. Those four things, right, on ourselves, right, because we don't forgive ourselves and we have shame and all this guilt that we carry. We put these restrictions on ourselves when in reality God's saying, "I've already taken care of that at the cross. Just ask me for help." And it's really as simple as that. If you mean it from your heart, he's going to answer your call, Richard. I promise you that. I promise you that, ladies and gentlemen.
And I love it. And guys, make sure you reach out to Daniel. We've been friends for many years. I'm going to be a guest on his show coming up soon. I'm excited for that. But guys, like my t-shirt says, "Today I decide." Those are the three most important words in the English language. Today you get to decide, do I become a victor or a victim? So you choose today what you want to. If you want to be the victor, I'd rather be the victor than the victim. So guys, make sure you make that choice today. Make sure you pick up the book series, The Makings of a Millionaire Mind. Make sure you check out his podcast, because my life is so much better with Daniel in it.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for the plug on the Daniel Gomez Inspire Show. It's on all platforms, and we're going to be honored to have you and host you, Richard, the comeback coach on the Daniel Gomez Inspire Show, baby, international. Let's go.
All right, brother. I love you. I'm so grateful for you, and I just want to say thank you. And you and your beautiful bride got something coming up in, what, about a half hour?
Yeah, we're going to go start getting ready for our Finding Your Inner Beauty Women's Conference. We got six phenomenal speakers coming in from all over the country. We got hundreds of people that are going to be here. It's going to be amazing. And I'm just excited to add value to them this weekend. Tomorrow, October 15th, if you're hearing this and you're in San Antonio, Texas area, come on to the Norris Conference Center. That's going to be the best $60 you ever spend.
All right, brother. Well, God bless you. And guys, make sure you check out Daniel. And like I always say, vertical momentum, the only way to go is but up. And I'll check you out on Monday. Have an amazing weekend. Daniel, love you, brother, and crush it this weekend.
Love you, brother. Thank you, everybody.